Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. And it's Mothering Sunday, which is something I'm not going to mention very much in what I'm going to say now, because we have such a fantastic reading that I discovered that I was heading in different directions. So let's think about mums being fantastic, about this day being a lovely day to celebrate, also a difficult day. Let's hold all those things in our minds. And then I'm going to talk about something completely different, which is this great story. Most of you will know it very well. Everyone ends up happy except the big brother and the fattened calf. Do you use a smartphone or a computer and sometimes look at the maps on there because you sort of put a place name in and it shows you the map of that place and it's just there? And then you often have to zoom out by pinching or wheeling your mouse or something. Well, we're going to start zoomed in on this parable, and then we're going to zoom out a little bit to see a bit more after we've done the first bit. So, the parable itself. We're talking about the time that Jesus was around, 2,000 years ago, in the Middle East, and that helps us to see a bit more about what this parable has in it. There's the father and there's the two sons, and they're farming and they have property, and they would be needing to use their farming and property to get their money, and the father would be the head of the house. But one of the sons says, please would you split our inheritance, which probably wouldn't have been unheard of, especially when the father was getting older. Probably he would say, let's split the inheritance, but would expect still to be getting something from it, still to be partners in it. And so that seems quite reasonable. The stronger men are doing the work. But not in this case, not the younger son. He sells up his part of it all and just leaves. And this is a huge loss for the father. He would have lost his son, who's just gone. He would have lost his land and his property and his belongings that the son presumably sold to somebody else in order to get his money so that he could wander off. And he would have had a huge loss of faith. What kind of boy was he? A real shame on the family. You wouldn't expect it of them. What must have been going on in that house for that to have happened? Shh, don't talk about his son. It's awful. What a loss that would have been to the father, the shame of it. He would be devastated, he would be shamed. And the older brother must have been livid because of what his younger brother had done. He would be angry for his father and the shame that the father and the family were suffering. And he would have been angry because he was left with only half of what the family should have had, having to provide for his father, being responsible on his own for all that he was expecting to be sharing responsibility with his brother. So here are two very unhappy men who are back at home. But this young son goes off very happy with lots of money, far from home, and starts living it up. He's escaped. He's free. He can do what he likes. Because he's worth it or something, I don't know. Anyway, he has his reasons, but he's off. We don't have the explanation. But it only lasts for so long. And in the end, the money runs out and the friends run out. And he has to eat, so he has to work. And he gets the lowest sort of work. And as a Jew, the worst of the worst, he's working with pigs. Pigs were unclean. No Jew would have anything to do with pigs, but he is there feeding the pigs and even eating their food. He would have felt the huge shame of it. He would have done, even if the people around didn't realize just how bad pigs were for him. And it seems that somehow news of what the younger son was up to did get back to the family. The older brother says, I know what he's been doing. So obviously, the news gets back. He probably realised the news would get back. He would have felt a deep shame of all that the family would be hearing. Not the success story of the one who got away and did all these great things, but feeding pigs. He would have known he had messed up. And he would know, and the family would find out about it. And then eventually he comes to his senses. Even slaves at home get better food than this. I've lost my place as a son. I've messed up completely. But at least I can do this job in a better place if my dad will take me back as a slave, just a worker for him. I'll go back. I'll admit it. I'll say I've made a mess. I'll show my filthy face. I'll face the music, and I won't expect any special treatment. And I'll beg Dad that I can at least just work on his farm. So he goes home, filthy and smelly and scared probably, not looking forward to that moment of meeting. And then all of a sudden he realizes his father is running towards him. What would that have been like? Maybe worse. Turn the intruder away before he gets any nearer to the farm. Certainly unusual to see a father running over the head of the family. He was old. He would have normally sat and waited, but he's running. Can the son see the expression on his face? Well, it was an amazing meeting. The young son is forgiven. His dad is full of compassion. His heart has gone out to his son. He's full of joy. He forgives it all. And he won't even hear the stuff about the son just being a worker on the farm. He gets fresh clothes, best clothes. He gets the family ring on his finger again. And Dad calls a feast. And unfortunately for the fattened calf, his son hasn't become a vegan while he was away. What a stir. What a party. How joyful. What a wonderful sound the older son must have heard as he came back in from the fields. This sounds great. What's going on? He says to one of the servants. Your brother is back and your dad has called a party. Can you imagine the shock and the horror? His dad has been conned out of so much by this son already. The family has been shamed by his running off. And the news of his son's behaviour while he was over there must have made it all worse. And then the money was all used up on nothing, squandered, as it says in our passage. And now when he's crawled back from his pigsty, his dad has called a party. This is all wrong. More shame, more embarrassment. His father's being weak, surely. The cost also is coming from his own fortune, since his brother's is all gone. So he faces his dad. Actually, his dad comes out to him. I've slaved for you. I've never disobeyed you. But you've never given me even half a party. But this son of yours, not my brother, this son of yours, it's not right. It's not fair. But his dad says, my dear son, you've got it all wrong. This farm, this stuff, this life has been yours all along as much as it's been mine. I've shared it with you already. You could have acted so differently all this time. You even forgot to party. But now your brother, he doesn't say my son, your brother is back. We must party. We must celebrate because he was dead, but he's now alive. He was lost, but he's now found. And that's the end of the story. It's a great story, but it stops there. Did the older son go in? Did he meet up with his brother? What did they say to each other next? Surely they did. How did the younger brother behave afterwards? Did he mend his ways? We don't know. We have to think about it. Work on the rest of the story for ourselves, maybe. There isn't a right answer, but Jesus gets us thinking. So that's the parable. And now we're going to zoom out, pinch, or scroll your mouse, or turn the page, if you've got an old-fashioned map, maybe, and look at the bigger picture. This is a parable that comes as one of three parables. They're three parables about lost things. A lost coin, a lost sheep, and a lost son. And in each parable there's a celebration when the lost thing is found.
And then if we go out a bit further, we discover why these three parables are put here, are told by Jesus, how Luke groups them with the thing that the Pharisees were saying, this man welcomes sinners. Jesus is being accused of welcoming sinners and eating with them. Awful, they say. And Jesus is saying, yes, I do welcome sinners, because God welcomes sinners, like the Father welcomed the sinful Son. And you Pharisees, you're being like the older son. You've lost sight of the good things you have all the time. Your relationship with God is there already, and you're not noticing the good of that, you're seeing the bad in others. You've lost compassion, you've lost forgiveness, you've lost love. You wonder whether the Pharisees heard it like that, or others heard it. Hopefully they did. But parables of Jesus were for the time, and they're also wonderfully for us now. We need to see what this parable says to us. Where do we fit into it? And this is a wonderful parable for wondering where we fit into it. Are you the runaway son? And if so, which part of the story are you in? Are you actually suddenly realizing you're just turning to run off just now, a little way away? Or are you living it up far away, actually, from where you should be? Are you in the pigsty? It's all gone awful. Suddenly realizing this is not as it should be. Are you plodding home, a bit worried about how it's all going to end up? What's going to happen? Or have you already got home, been given the robe and the ring and the party, living in an amazement that your father should give you all that, knowing all that you've done? I think we can all put ourselves a little bit in the place of the younger brother. Or maybe you realize you're the older brother, finding it hard to see that people who have caused hurt and shame to you and to other people is sometimes harder. Hurt and shame, or hurt to God as well, that those people can still be accepted. They can be forgiven. And if that's where you are, this is your chance to work out where the parable would end in this case. You can be sure that the Father has shown great compassion and understanding to people who don't deserve it. That's the way the Father is. And would show great compassion and understanding to the older son. And if that's where you are, where I am, to us. We need to see where we go, knowing that our Father's heart is to celebrate because of the lost person who is found. Will we join in? But there are, in a sense, three main characters in this story: the two sons and the father. And can we identify with the father? Well, I want to look at our other reading to think about that from 2 Corinthians. I'll just read straight a portion of that reading. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, or another way of translating that, that person is a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. So it's through Jesus that we are rescued and brought back into good relationship with God our Father, like the younger son being cleaned up, brought back, made new. And the reading goes on, and God gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So we have a part to play, sharing the message that God can rescue people and that they can be in a good relationship with him. Paul goes on, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Paul and his companions were ambassadors to the Corinthians. We are called to be God's ambassadors to the people around us. Once we are rescued, we have a task to do the same thing, to go and give the good news of rescue to people who need rescuing. We are ambassadors of Jesus, even if we have to go to the worst of places to give this message. Think of the prodigal son. Some of the people that we might need to give this message to are just turning away and heading off. Some people will be living it up without realizing there's anything that could go wrong. Some will be in a mess, in the pigsty. For all of them, the good news is that their true home is with God as their Father. And he wants them to come home, and he's waiting, and he will come running to meet them. Maybe you need to hear that for yourself. God will come running to meet you. I'm going to retell the story with a difference, just as a finishing off. There was a father who had an only son. But the father and son wanted a bigger family. They wanted to share their love with others. So they chose to adopt a child and offer them a place in the family. But the child took advantage of the generosity of the father and took all the good things the father had given and went away. The child lived a long way from the father and wasted all the good things until they were all gone. And the child came to see that it had all gone wrong. And they didn't know what to do. They slaved in a pigsty, and they were very hungry. The father and the son had been hurt. They had been wronged. But they had compassion. They didn't want the child to be away from home. So the father sent his only son to that faraway place, and the son found the child in the pigsty and rescued the child, washed them clean, and brought them home to his father. So the child was adopted into the family, and the father and the son and the adopted child all celebrated with a big party. That's how God the Father and Jesus the Son behave towards us. That's the offer that's open to each of us. Are you that child? Do you need to be rescued? Do you need to be brought back? That's what Jesus does. That's what he wants to do now. Whoever you identify with in this story, the younger son, the older son, or thinking that you need courage to go and be an ambassador to bring others back to the Father, I would encourage you to respond today. Come and, when it comes to communion, come and bring yourself as you are. Say, here I am, Father. Take me home, or use me, give me courage for what you want to use me for, or I'm sorry that I've missed the love that you share. And in all of this, I guess, on Mothering Sunday, we recognise the story has a father in it, but this sort of love is the wonderful, nurturing, mothering love of God, which is open to all of us all the time. Amen.